Look what you made me do. Look what I made for you.
His name is Old Man. Old Man Wayne.
I live by the funk. I die by the funk.
Something terrible.
Nope, not doing this. We're not doing this.
Point. Old man.
So normally I start with intros, so we'll start with intros. Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the goddess of love and the lord of laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm here with the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior, Superboy Harvey.
Yo.
And also with us, we got the editor-in-chief of the Daily Bugle, the menace himself, J. Jonah Brandon.
Why can't I be Perry White? He black now.
Because you're a menace, that's why.
If woke Disney had its way, so would Mr. Jameson, the great white editor of all time.
Actually, I don't think, I always say, like, there's certain characters you can race swap and certain you can't. I don't think you can make J. Jonah Jameson black.
Absolutely.
Unless you
made him Stephen A. Smith.
Exactly. There's a lot of those types of personalities that could fit, like, the J. Jonah Jameson, like, just ready to get to scoop, you know, super conservative, jerky.
I don't feel like it comes off the same if it's not like an old white guy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I agree with
Mark. Y'all clearly never been to a black church.
But here's the thing. In Ultimate Spider-Man, it don't look like J. Jonah's conservative.
He kind of flip-flops. It's kind of weird. But shout out to Wendell Pierce for being cast as Perry White. I think that was an amazing casting and totally spot on. I think he's going to do what he always does and be phenomenal.
Avi, how's my lighting? The new camera.
It looks good. Hold on.
I just love how we went.
Let me enhance.
I just love enhance. How we me talking about Perry White being cast. How does my visual look? What is going on right now?
We're trying to do a podcast Javi. Here, old man.
I know.
No, I'm trying to impress Avi.
Nah, it looks good. It looks good. I have some observations we could talk about off air, but I'm upset. It makes me upset. I didn't have enough time to put my camera up because I just set my background up the way I want for these shows. So hopefully next time we record, you know, we'll be looking like.
I don't know how to do lighting. See, that's the part I don't know how to do.
It's just a little white balancing. You just need a little white balancing, but we'll fix that. We'll fix that.
We'll fix that post.
Yeah.
Because the man.
Remember I told y'all every week I'm going to have a new list and a new quiz question?
Yes.
So I have the first quiz question. I'm going to start y'all off really easy. Again, both of you guys can answer the question correct. If you answer both correctly, then, you know, you both get a point. We'll figure it out from there. But the first one's going to be really easy. You don't have to ring in first. If you both get it, you both get it. If you don't, you don't. So the first question, what Batman villain flooded Gotham City in New 52?
Bane.
That was absolutely incorrect. Javi?
All right, I'm going to go with Penguin.
Still incorrect. It was the Riddler.
It was the Riddler. You're right. It was the Riddler.
My excuse, bro. I haven't read a lot of DC in a long time. So.
I read all the Scott Snyder shit. I should have known that.
New 52 has been a grip. It's time for a reread.
The other reason I thought y'all were going to get it specifically because it happened in the Batman.
That's on Brandy. I don't read that crap.
No, the Batman is in the movie.
The movie, Javi.
As good as we say that movie was, is there a more forgettable Batman movie? Sorry for changing the subject, but that just, I'd never think about that. I'd never think about that movie.
It was a decent movie.
It was good.
Yeah, you're right. I have never went back to rewatch it. Have you, old man?
I'm working by saying Batman Forever is the worst Batman movie.
I'm not saying it's the worst one. I'm just saying I feel like that's the most forgettable one, I don't know why.
I am absolutely saying that the worst Batman movie was Batman Forever.
You think Batman Forever is worse than Batman and Robin?
Oh, Batman and Robin is a fantastic comedy. What are you talking about? It's a crap movie, but
holy rested metal Batman.
No, that Batman's excellent. I'm not gonna let you disrespect that man. I'm not gonna let you disrespect Adam West.
Oh no, he was talking about Chris O'Donnell.
It was a scene, yeah.
Chris O'Donnell.
Metal Batman. What?
Oh yeah, he did say that.
There's holes.
Full holes. Oh. So
you didn't like the bat nipples, old man, on Batman Forever?
I like bat butt cheeks in. I think I'm actually gonna call this episode "Bat Butt Cheeks."
Yeah, yo, Chris O'Donnell was tweet.
You know, and speaking of butt cheeks, today's list is
what a transition.
Comic book characters that would ruin an orgy.
That would ruin an orgy.
Comic book characters that would ruin an orgy.
Okay, I can get with this.
Number one, Lex Luthor.
Nah.
Did you watch Harley Quinn? That nigga was definitely into some shit.
Yo, have you ever been to Lex Luthor Island? There's a list. It's nowhere near as creepy as the real world version of that, but there's definitely a lot of creepiness, a lot of freakiness going on that island.
Okay, I'm not even touching that, but I'm just saying because he's way too judgy. You can just see him walking around going,
Uh-uh. Somebody wound up that tight and that intelligent with that much money and that like little of like of moral like aptitude. I'm pretty sure this dude is having like a weekly orgy.
This is a great fucking list right here. Well, who's next?
Batman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely.
Batman would walk around trying to give people notes on how their stroke is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne would join the orgy just to protect his secret. Like he has to be like this playboy, whatever. Like he'll find a way to like muscle through it, but he'll be thinking about like training through the whole time. But yeah, Batman would definitely not be part of that.
He's not even having sex at the orgy. He's kind of just walking around, just kind of like, I wonder what the Riddler's doing right now.
He learned a ninja technique that magically makes people think that they're having sex with him. Which is why I hate this new Batman storyline with him like training and stuff like that, because it just makes Batman even more ridiculous.
Next up, I have the Riddler. I can totally see him doing riddle me this. Guess who's about to get off?
You don't think the Riddler looks like a freak to you? Because he's like
Riddler,
a freak to me.
The Riddler looks so annoying. Riddle me this. Guess where my semen's going.
That'd be a very interesting party. I think the Jim Carrey Riddler would be down, but.
Oh yeah, Jim. Oh yeah,
yeah.
in a rhinestone like,
definitely be down.
Rhinestone assless chaps.
Mm-hmm. While he's literally sucking everybody's brain material out of their bodies.
Hey yo.
Exactly. That's exactly why. That was the plot of the movie and the plot of the
you
orgy.
Didn't even say. Are you going in order by most egregious? Because
no, I'm just going.
There's someone who's the most egregious with this.
Harley Quinn, because she plays too much.
No, she wouldn't. No, she wouldn't ruin the orgy. She would make the orgy. What?
No, she would ruin it. She would make it and then ruin it, because then she would end up like just killing somebody randomly.
Nah, she's gonna end up putting her hammer in someone's ass and they don't want it to. She's gonna. I think
no, no.
I think she plays too much.
I think Harley's into consent.
Yeah, me too.
When it comes
I
to
think
sex,
Harley's into consent.
Not when it comes to murder, right? She'll murder you like without your consent. You know, but I think everything else is consent.
You got me there.
Xavier.
Oh God, yes.
Xavier would ruin an orgy.
Oh, God, I'm not even gonna make the joke about what Hobby says. He's into, so I'm not going there.
I can't make that joke.
Yeah, no,
I can't make that joke now.
Nah. I'm going to say these three names, and you're probably going to ask why. Wonder Woman, Storm, and Luke Cage.
I agree with Storm because she's a little too uptight. Yeah, not too uptight. She's uptight. Whatever. I don't see that in her personality.
Wonder Woman may get down.
She's Greek. Bro, they invented orgies.
So you guys are... So this is the reason why. They're too perfect. Like, everybody... There would be, like, a lot waiting.
Luke Cage 100% would ruin an orgy. His preachy fucking... ass Hotep.
If he can get down with She-Hulk and Jessica Jones, he's fine. I just feel like Because I remember an issue of Mighty Avengers where they were talking about how they were captured. And Jessica Drew goes, "Oh, the last time this happened to us, we were all naked." And the Wasp was like, "You saw Luke Cage naked?" So this one was funny. I asked my wife, and she goes, "Rogue." And we both laughed because I have it on a list for obvious reasons.
Yeah, that sucked. Like, you know, you see this beautiful, tall Rogue walk into the room, and that you go to caress her, and then suddenly your whole body shrivels up.
You look like that meme when they go, "The head ain't shit."
Yeah.
Oh, did you say Rogue?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Rogue, because Rogue would get you in. Well, it depends.
You'll need one of those. I don't know if you guys remember the Naked Gun series, but there's a sex scene. Naked Gun series where they got the full. You need a full body condom.
No, you don't even need that. You got to be comfortable with her wearing gloves for the touching part. And remember since you brought it up, remember on Batman Forever when Poison Ivy kissed him and he had the fake lips and he peeled the lips off so he didn't get the poison? You put them fake lips on Rogue.
You gonna put on wax vagina lips.
Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna have to pull out the Batman credit card to pay.
Well,
for
how does Rogue's
bills.
Powers work? Can you not touch any part of her?
No, none of her. Nothing.
No skin to skin. I don't think like in Krakoa they've gotten her like power inhibitors so like she can do the damn thing.
And I believe some people have power sets that protect them, like Magneto.
Yeah, which is hilarious to me that of all people's Magneto, Hank Pym. He strikes me as a dude who just gets so insecure that he just gets up and leaves and like.
He's not allowed. Not in the movies. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Hank Pym in the movies. Hank Pym in the comic books might be down.
Now, Hank Pym in the comic books isn't allowed anywhere near women.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I forgot.
That came out this week, and I believe Brandon Thurston.
Can y'all hear that?
Yep.
Oh, it worked. Okay. I didn't even mean to play anything.
Yeah.
But.
Hank Pym's on the list, bro.
Of course, speaking of Hanks, Hank McCoy.
Yeah.
I think you guys are just projecting your hatred on Beast.
Fuck no. He's not allowed anywhere fun.
Yo, but he has hands for feet. I mean, that could get kind of...
They're also hairy.
He seems like he talks too much.
They're also hairy and blue.
I don't know, bro. I mean, you ever seen orgies in the 70s? There's a lot of hair everywhere.
Whose dick is hard around Beast?
I mean, don't kink shame.
But like, tell me next, the Blob would be good in the orgy.
There's a lot of furries in the world, bro. Kink shame.
No, and let's not act like Nightcrawler don't be getting it in.
But Nightcrawler don't look that furry no more.
He looked like demon.
In the Nightcrawler series when he was fucking with Silver Sable, he looked like a fucking blue Fabio.
He really did. He really did.
And Beast don't just be talking just to talk. Like Beast is all poetic and intelligent. Like, bro,
you didn't hear what he just said.
Oh, Beast,
y'all need to stop sleeping on the.
I'm not gonna sit here and let you defend Hank McCoy.
Hey, I'm not defending Hank McCoy. I'm
indefensible.
I'm defending Hank McCoy in the orgy. It's two different things.
No, it's the same thing.
So I actually got some people on our Facebook, on my Facebook, to give their options. Someone said The Flash. I got triggered twice because two people said Multiple Man, triggered by that.
Multiple Man would be awesome in an orgy.
He'd be kind of selfish. Like, it's all Multiple Man and, like, one of me.
Didn't Multiple Man fuck Monet?
Yes. Monet said Croy and Siren in the same night.
Yeah, like, he'll be too greedy. He'll be everywhere. I don't want to just see Multiple Man. You go to an orgy for variety.
Well, I feel like Multiple Man would probably host it. Like, he'd have, like, one of his dudes passing out condoms, lubes, and odor.
That'd be different. I'd hate to be the one dude that's on cleanup duty.
Well, thankfully, Multiple Man is more than one dude on cleanup duty.
No, I'd say one dupe.
Oh, one dupe.
I would hate to be the one dupe.
You have that one freaky-ass dupe that's gonna, like, love it.
Hey, don't eat that!
Why not? Someone else said the Hulk and Wolverine. I feel like Wolverine's a freak and he probably just does what he does.
Nah, Wolverine has I'm assuming a lot of experience in orgies. Like he'd be like the MVP.
The Hulk can't participate in an orgy.
Why
No,
not?
he really can't.
Who can't?
Because you would. Who's taking that?
The Wolverine?
No, the Hulk.
According to Old Man,
is that a challenge?
Wonder Woman probably could. Captain Marvel could.
That's about it.
That's interesting. But I will say this without getting into the details of who I think could. Always remember this, Brandon. Anything's a dildo if you're imaginative enough.
And this one, someone posted multiple lists. They said Cyclops, Ted Kord, the Deep, Annihilus, Quasar, the
Oh,
Penguin.
wait, go rewind. The Deep. He's with Hank Pym, not allowed.
Yeah. Annihilus, Quasar, the Penguin, Guy Gardner, and Orion.
The Penguin would just ruin everybody's, like, ugh. Guy Gardner would probably be fun in the orgy,
I
actually.
think, but I think he would get slapped by somebody for saying something stupid.
Probably, but I also feel like he'd have like random constructs like for everybody. Like he'd have like green fleshlights and vibrators.
Again, anything's a dildo if you have enough imagination.
That's this week's list. That's what I had for that. I thought it was. I was sitting at work. No, actually, I was sitting at home just thinking of like putting up, trying to put a list together. Like, what's my first list going to be? I was like, you know what? The
That
orgy.
would be your first list.
The orgy. F it.
People walking by you at work with a crazy grin on your face, and like, I wonder what he's thinking about.
And then someone like, and then someone's walking past. I'm like, you don't want to know. Whatever Mark said, you do not want to know what's going on. So we didn't talk about this because we've been gone for a while. I've been going through it. Javi's been going through it. Brandon's been going through it. So I, excuse me, we are finally going to discuss it. The fantastic forecasting.
Yay.
I'm gonna give you the names, obviously. And you guys tell me what you think. We're gonna go Brandon first and Javi for each of them. Then I'll go and I'll say my piece after that. So first off, I know you guys were pumped for this. Reed Richards as Pedro Pascal will be playing Reed Richards. I know y'all are all for this.
I like it. I want it. I wish that they hadn't done Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Because I thought he would have been perfect for Reed. But I do have one thing. He's a little old. So like by the time the first movie comes out, he's gonna be like 49 or something like that. So I mean he got that gray hair, so I guess you can say he's kind of old. But like, how many movies are we gonna get out of Pedro as Reed?
Well, the good thing about the cat playing Reed Richards, it's not like there's a lot of like real action, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
because old, that does kind of work in his favor because, and that was actually one of the issues I had with you, Brandon. So don't let me just say this. I don't disagree with you. But I think because of who he, because of the character Reed Richards is, we're not going to be looking at a lot of. He's not like Peter Quill or Wolverine or anybody that's going to be doing a lot of jumps and stuff like that. It'll be a lot of stretches and things that are going to be on like harnesses for the most part, so it's not too bad. But his age is definitely a factor here.
I mean, the next person who you're about to say is 14 years younger than
Yeah.
him. Yeah.
But it was also it, that's how actually it was creepier. In the comic books, they kept changing it specifically because,
Oh, did you read it when he went to pick up on her in high school?
yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, I get every argument that you guys made for and against Pedro. But I will say this, I was a little disappointed that they didn't stick with John Krasinski.
Krasinski.
I can't pronounce. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. What the hell is that? I'm like that. I'm like the black teacher in the Key and Peele sketches. Aaron. I felt like everything was pointing towards him. They even redesigned Reed Richards in the comic books to look more like him. So I feel like something must have happened that prevented that casting from actually.
Yeah, I don't think Emily wanted to be Sue.
Would she have to be Sue for him to stick on?
I don't think so. It would have been nice. It would have been kind of cool, but I don't think it would have been like necessary.
Like, I feel like there's some stuff that happened in the background that we're not all aware of, whether it's contracts, whatever, that kept them from doing that. But I think Pedro Pascal. No.
It's because Marvel's woke.
The death of the white man. No,
this is fantastic.
No, I mean, it's I do appreciate the woke decision, to be honest with you. That's one positive for that. But
you know, speaking of that, not to get super sidetracked, but I think both of y'all would find this funny. There was an article that came out today that was talking about Wall Street and like Wall Street potentially getting rid of some of their DEI stuff. Like programs, some of the companies from Wall Street potentially getting rid of some of the DEI programs. Mm-hmm. And there was a quote from someone like for some white woman on Wall Street, and it said one of the execs says she's had white women ask what opportunities their son will have if Wall Street focuses on promoting underrepresented groups.
Wow.
What's going to happen to my white sons on Wall Street?
Yeah, Brandon, you know there's not enough money on Wall Street for everybody. Come on.
We all know that. I didn't get sidetracked, but that was related to this. You know, you're getting rid of all the white characters. You're replacing them with brown people.
Yeah.
But besides that, I think that's a good point, Brandon. But also, like, his age, the age isn't really getting to Pedro. Like, I think, again, if anybody had to replace John, Pedro's a good choice. But as far as the age thing, I don't really think the age thing is too much of a problem to me. I don't know. It's not like, I think Vanessa Kirby, sorry, spoiler, is playing Susan Storm. And I just looked up her age. You know, she's 35. So it's not like she's a kid.
13 years.
Yeah, but she's in her 30s.
No, what I mean is, in the next movie, she's still going to be fine in like 38. This nigga's going to be 51.
I feel like Pedro's the type of guy that ages like marble. So I'm not too worried about that. And I think a lot of time, one of the issues I had with a lot of these Fantastic Four rumors. Oh, wow.
Hey, anybody, if you know me personally.
Wow.
That's why they're laughing. I can't say that on air.
Wow. Yo.
Jesus. That is probably one of my best jokes ever, and I can't.
Yo! This would be an automatic cancel of BBN and Old Man in particular. That's hilarious. Wow.
So moving on.
I just want to finish this point though. I just want to say, like, Reed Richards, for some reason people think that he needs to be like young or like it's like early 20s or whatever.
No,
but, like,
I want him to be like late 30s, so like in 10 years of doing movies he's still like not 60 something.
I mean, 60. We do live in a multiverse. I don't think. Pretty soon, that's going to happen to all these actors, right? Like,
how old was Robert Downey Jr. in 2008?
He was old. He wasn't young. He wasn't a spring chicken. Hold on.
He's 58 now, so that was 2024.
So he was in his 40s.
That was 16 years ago.
Yeah, he was 42.
So he was 42.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on. Be good.
Yeah. Vanessa Kirby as the Invisible Woman. I immediately was all for this. I thought it was a great idea. I've seen her in Hobbs and Shaw, so she can play the badass character. She's a little bit older, so she does have a maternal look to her, so that's also kind of dope. And her being a badass kind of woman.
Women in their 20s could be moms too. Just put that out there.
Okay. But her oldest kid is like 12 and like 14. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Did you see her in Mission Impossible, Old Man?
I've seen one Mission Impossible movie. That was enough for me. I love the first one. I don't want to see any more.
She was excellent in Mission Impossible.
I've heard. And you need somebody like Sue Storm isn't a throwaway character. She's the strongest member of the Fantastic Four, not just physically, but like emotionally. Like she's the heart and soul of that team. Without them, the Fantastic Four does not work. So I thought it was a really good choice for them to pick her.
What'd you think, Javi?
She's cool. I mean, she checks out the boxes physically, because that's all we can really go by at this point. I haven't really seen her. I'm not familiar with her resume. But if I'm going by just looks, which again, Sue Storm is much more than her looks. So I gotta, you know, it's up. Time will tell how well she portrays this character. But yeah, she looks like,
hey, Javi,
you know, Sue Storm.
Women in their 30s can be attractive too, you know, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm married to one.
No, she's been in a lot of shit. She's been in The Crown, Mission Impossible, Napoleon. Like, she's Hobbs and Shaw, like old man said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. She's in the shits. But Mission Impossible, she's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. The White Widow is her name in Mission Impossible, by the way.
Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm.
I don't know that nigga.
He was in Stranger Things. The recent one, he was the dude who played the guitar at the end. Probably the most popular character in the most recent season, I would assume.
And apparently he's going to be in a sequel of Gladiator, which I didn't know was a thing, but that's very interesting.
Well, Gladiator, when the motherfucker died at the end of it.
And after 3 days, he was resurrected. Wait, that's wrong story. Sorry.
Gladiator 2. Jesus. Time for me to crucifix this. Sorry. I apologize. That was a bit too far.
Yeah, I don't know anything. Like, it's, I don't know anything about him. I don't know. He doesn't look, I feel like, and this could be me being toxic, but I feel like Johnny Storm is, if he's going to be a white dude, he's going to be like an annoyingly attractive white dude that you just want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
And I don't get that from him.
He doesn't look cool.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I remember a buddy of mine was talking about when Michael B. Jordan was cast as Johnny Storm, I was kind of against it, but he was like, well, he was for it. And he was like, he goes, you have to, like, Johnny Storm's supposed to look cool. He's supposed to be cool. Mm-hmm. Michael B. Jordan is kind of the epitome of that. And just from looks, he's like the cool guy.
Yeah. But I can see this guy playing like a Doctor Who, right?
He looks cool, but also I have to remember that he's 1960s cool. Since this is taking place in the 60s, like he's 1960s, yeah. Great, but.
You know, and there's so much unknowns. Like, is it really? I mean, they have that poster, right? Yeah. I mean, like, Marvel is really good at keeping things secret until the last minute. So, like, there's so much unknowns. We really don't know where they're taking these characters. I'm just excited to have the Fantastic Four in the MCU at the end of the day.
So I want to go on a bit of a tangent about the dude playing Ben Grimm. Ebon Moss Buckrock. I'm pretty sure I'm butchering his last name. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who this dude was. I looked him up and I was like, oh yeah, he was Micro in The Punisher. But I didn't know any more about him. I ended up watching The Bear on Hulu. Nearly flawless show. Mm-hmm. After seeing him as Richie in The Bear, I think he's going to be the best casting that we've seen in close to a decade. That's how good I think he's going to be. The insecurities that he pulled off in The Bear and like the kind of tough guy, like granted they were in Chicago, but the very New Yorker kind of thing. I was like, this is perfect. They did everything they were supposed mm-hmm. to. They picked the perfect person to play Ben Grimm. I was shocked. I wish I would have seen The Bear earlier just so I could praise how good he's going to be as Ben Grimm. I got nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think with a character like Ben Grimm, you're not going to see him a lot, right? And when you play characters like that, I think it really challenges actors. Like, they really have to especially when they use that motion capture. Like they have to be very expressive. They actually have to turn into that character, like disappear into that character. And I think he was, you know, and everything I've seen him in, I've actually seen him in a couple of things, Andor in particular, like he seems to be able to disappear into these roles. So I think that he can be whoever they need him to be in this, in this The Thing role. So we'll see.
And he's also Jewish, which also is kind of dope too. So
yes, he's street gang.
I have no idea what that means. Oh, yeah, Yonkers.
No, that's Ben Grimm's gang, Yancey Street gang.
I said Yonkers. Wow.
Wrong street. I'm just waiting to go off on the next topic.
I don't even know what the next topic is. I have my notes.
You know what the next topic is.
Oh, my God. Brandon, take the wheel.
Are y'all offended if I spoil this?
No.
But Ben, before you start, because I want to hear what you're going to say, because whenever you're excited about this, I know it's going to be crazy, but I'm going through the Fantastic Forecast, and I see Margot Robbie in there, and is that confirmed?
I haven't seen that.
I've seen nothing about that. Is it IMDb you're looking at?
No, this is just Google, so it could be bullcrap, but all right, never mind. Go ahead.
I know they offered her the role of Sue Storm, and she said no.
She's DC for life.
But I don't know anything if she's playing someone else. All right.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead.
We haven't talked about this, but I bit the bullet and I went and saw Madam Web. So y'all don't have to see Madam Web, but y'all should see Madam Web. You just shouldn't pay to see Madam Web.
Madam Web? No. Brandon did that. So hopefully you have to go through that.
But you should go through that when it's on TV and you're sitting at home with your wife or your homeboys on a Friday, on a Saturday night or a rainy day, and you're like, you want to look at a ridiculous movie and just laugh your ass off, put on that Madam Web.
Saying it's so bad it's good? It's one of those so bad it's good movies.
It's one of, no, it's not good. It's just so bad that it's funny. It's one of the 5 to 10 worst movies I've ever seen. Not superhero movies.
Movie period. Movies. Like in a world where Titanic 2 exists.
It's awful. Dakota Johnson, who's not a bad actress, could not have given less of a fuck about this film. She could not have given any fucks. In fact, she fired her agent after this film came out because, of course, like, if you watch the film, of course she should have fired her agent for this fucking film. It was the most uninspired performance I think I've seen in a movie, and I can't tell you how long. Let me give you some of the hits of the movie. Give you some of the hits. Have any of you, Old Man or Javi, have any of y'all seen Severance?
Yes.
What's Severance?
On Apple TV?
No. It's a great TV show. Yeah, great TV show. My man Adam Scott on Severance, great actor, right? Mm-hmm. He's in this movie. They didn't tell you he was in this movie. He's in this movie. He has a major role in this movie. Do you know who he plays in this movie?
Ezekiel?
No. He plays Ben Parker.
Yeah, who's in it for like, I was told, like 3 minutes.
No, he's in the movie throughout the movie. And in fact,
let me guess. This was part of some big reveal. Right? Well, you never know. He was Ben Parker the whole time.
They revealed in the first 5 minutes secretly. He's an EMT with Madam Web. She's the EMT, and they're helping someone. And then they just like pan the camera up to his name tag, and it says B. Parker, and it's like a reveal. Oh, it's Ben Parker. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you that. Spider-Man's mom is in the movie. Did y'all know that? Spider-Man's mom's in the movie.
I did know that.
She gives birth.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Spider-Man.
I've watched a lot of, like, I don't care about this movie so much that I've been spoiled throughout and I don't give a shit. But go ahead.
Here's the funny part about that. They never say Peter's name. They even have a part in the movie where it's a baby shower and they're supposed to guess the baby's name. And then right when they're about to say their name, Madam Web has like a blackout.
Listen, Brandon, I don't know if you understand cinema, like the creators of Madam Web, the movie, understand cinema, but you want to add a little bit of suspense for your big reveal.
What if I told you that after she finds out that Ezekiel is like a web crawler and she realizes that her mom knew Ezekiel because she went to Peru and she and they got bit by a spider.
Oh, wait. I know this part. What? Her mom died in Peru studying spiders.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And they told her that the spiders didn't give people power. She didn't believe it. The spider saved her long enough so that Madam Web could be born. That's how she got powers.
Time out. So, I knew about this, right? So I knew about all this. I've seen the spoilers. I've read the spoilers. So what you're telling me is they bastardized everything that happened in the comic books and this made it worse.
Yes.
Okay, continue. But
what if I told you in the middle of the movie, she leaves the three spider girls in the middle of the woods because she got to go figure something out. She just says, I'll be back in 4 hours and drives back to New York City from the woods in New Jersey to grab her mom's old books about the spiders in Peru. And she's reading the old books and the book says, if you're bitten by the spider, you can then climb on walls and trees like a spider can. And then she says, just like this, with the same amount of energy that I'm about to say it, how would you know if you could climb on walls if you never tried? And then walks over to a wall and lifts her arms. You can't see me on the podcast, but lifts her arms up with this much energy.
Tries to climb a wall. He's currently showing zero energy right now.
And tries to climb a wall and then just falls on her face. That was the scene in the movie. They also had a couple more things. They also had a bastardization of with great power comes great responsibility. Did you hear that, old man?
I did not.
With no power comes zero responsibility.
With Sony power comes no responsibility.
With Madam Web power comes a horrible movie validity.
I believe the line in the movie was, when you take on the responsibility, great power will come. They said that in the movie.
Giggity.
They said that line in the movie. And the last thing I'll say, which you all probably know if you read some stuff about this, but the listeners may not know. So you know in the trailer where you see Jessica Carpenter and Maddie Franklin and the other Spider Girl, who I don't remember her name, like fighting in their suits and doing cool shit?
No.
Well, it's in this trailer. It's also the only part of the movie where they're actually in their suits, and it's a dream. It's
I figured it was either a dream or like a future. So
Ezekiel's going after these three kids. They're in high school, by the way, in the movie. These three kids.
Hold on. So I will make sure you get it right. When you take great responsibility, you will gain powerful abilities.
Is that the line in the movie?
That's the line in the movie. I'm looking at it right now.
No, they said that too.
Bars.
They said the other line
bars.
Too.
Nah, we're not going to disrespect that. That bars. Okay.
So the three Spider Web girls are high school kids in the movie. And Ezekiel is going after them because he had a dream that they killed him. That's the plot of the movie. And you know in Batman Dark Knight how like he had that technology where he could like see the cameras in the city? Ezekiel had that technology, but he could see every camera in the world. So he's on the other side of the world, and he figured out where these girls were in New York City through like that camera technology.
But this also takes place in like 2004 or something.
Yeah,
right?
2003. Yes. And then the last thing, there's also a line after Peter's born where he's playing, Ben is playing with Peter. And someone says, look at him. He gets to have all the fun with no responsibility. And then Madam Web says, because she's in the hospital, blind at this point. She gets blinded at the end of the movie by a fireworks.
Wait. I feel like you've run through the gamut of this movie pretty much. Like Madam Web has the ability to tell him to tell the future, right? Like she can see the strings of the Okay, so we haven't got Okay. Wait. So she has no powers up to this point.
No, she has powers at this point. This is at the end of the movie. So wait. someone says
Hold on.
I'm not the only one.
She has powers throughout the whole movie. She just doesn't know how to use them until she takes a flight in the middle of the movie to Peru. She tells the girls who she's supposed to be protecting, I gotta go. You go stay with Ben and he'll take care of you. And she takes a flight to Peru to go back to the jungle where her mom died to find out the truth about her powers.
No, can we be respectful of the movie where her mom died studying spiders?
Yes. But thank listen, you. She's in the hospital because she gets blinded by fireworks because she got into a fight in a Pepsi and that's where the final fight was in the Pepsi
Michael
factory.
Michael Jackson in the fucking 90s?
So listen, she's in the hospital bed blinded. And Pete's mom
and Ray Charles pops up like, refreshing.
And Pete's mom says, look at Ben. He gets to have all the fun without any of the responsibility, like playing with Peter. It's like being a dad. And then Madam Webb says, that's what he thinks. And then looks into the camera, even though she's blind. Wait.
So she knows Uncle Ben's going to be murdered.
Yes. And she knows. He's gonna tell Peter with great power comes great responsibility and all that shit. And so watch.
So in this universe, Uncle Ben doesn't die because she clearly warns him and saves him before he dies.
No, she doesn't.
All right. So her power comes with zero responsibility. That's what you're saying.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
That's correct.
And wait, the spiders that are supposed to have you walk up the walls. Wait, how did she get her powers?
Because her mom. So when her mom got killed by Ezekiel killed her mom.
God.
The spider people in the Peru grabbed her and took her body into like this water to this pond, and they had the powerful spiders come bite her before she could die while she was giving birth. So she was in Peru while she was pregnant, 9 months pregnant.
Yo, somehow spiders. This is why this movie is great, because they combine the plots of Morbius.
Okay, so it's not just me. I'm hearing it too. I'm like, all right.
And Aquaman. Because she got her powers by being submerged into water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's yes. It makes sense. This is a matter of fact, I really think future generations will look back at this movie and say this was the greatest superhero movie of all time.
The last thing to tie this into a nice little bow.
Doug, I'm buying this when it comes out.
The end of the movie.
Blu-ray, special edition.
The end of the movie, each of the spider girls just left their parents and moved in with her.
Yeah, I mean, they're in high school, but they were just, I don't know. They got.
One of his parents, Sydney Sweeney's parents were so fucked up that her dad got a divorce from her. Her mom walked out on her. Her dad got remarried.
Yeah, because he saw a screening of this movie.
Her mom didn't give a fuck about, hated her so much that she thought she was invisible, to the point that her mom got in an accident, got saved by Madam Webb, right? Because she's an EMT.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the hospital, and when the family's going in, the doctor comes out and says, hey, you can come see, you know, your wife and stuff. When the family's going in, her dad stops her and goes, yeah, I think she wants her real family to come in. And just leaves her out the fucking house.
What?
Brandon, what? I can't wait to see this movie.
I kind of want to watch this with you all, man.
Yo.
We haven't done one of those in a long time.
You have to watch the movie.
We haven't done one of those. And it's usually something that I want you to watch as horrible or something that you want me to watch as horrible. Yo, we'd both be going into this blind. I think this would be great.
Oh, this.
That would be a good podcast if we all had drinks.
What would be the drinking game?
On party
is there
watch.
Any drink? Is there? Brandon, is there any possible drinking game that we could watch this movie without dying of alcohol?
I can tell you, drink every time you see something that makes sense.
then we'll be the most sober we've ever been.
Be pretty damn sober. And you know the craziest thing about this? When it first came out, I said, "Who asked for this? Who the fuck? Why are they making a Madam Web movie?" When I watched the movie, I said, I can totally see why some executive at Sony got pitched this and was like, this is a good idea. This could work. This could bring our universe together. And then every single aspect of implementing that movie and making that movie happen in a competent way, from the acting, the script writing, the editing, the special effects, failed. There's a part where Ezekiel is talking and they have ADR, right? So they went back and redid his audio afterwards.
That's what I heard so much about the ADR use in this movie.
There's
I heard
a part
it was
in the movie
explicit.
where his mouth, you hear him talking and his mouth is not moving. And then you hear see his mouth moving, you don't hear him say shit.
So for the audience that is not familiar with ADR, so ADR is a technique used in filmmaking where you would have the actor or a voice actor dub in words in a scene that's already been filmed, right?
Yes.
Sometimes they do it because like the audio wasn't really clicking, or there might have been a reshoot and they have to change some of the story. Apparently, his lines were like 90% ADR.
That was bad.
Right? Which, you know, even in the best of cases, you could kind of tell that's why they don't use it. Like, they use it sparingly or when they really need it. But I've heard it was so bad that it sounds like, it almost sounds like he's not even in the same room when he's speaking, right? Like, imagine somebody in the bathroom, right, with that echo. Apparently, that's what that sounds like with him. And it makes sense based on a lot of the rumors that seem to be substantiated about this movie, was that Brandon, I think that the movie that was pitched to the executive was an entirely different movie than what we got as an audience.
I mean, y'all know my conspiracy theory on Hollywood purposely flooding the market with bad comic book movies because Hollywood hates the fact that they make money. So
it's even worse than that, old man. There's people that believe that Sony did this movie to spite Marvel because the average person can't tell the difference.
Yeah, and then Marvel, and there's a reason why we were talking about the Fantastic Four casting on the same episode that we're talking about the Madame Web movie, even though we're behind, but both of those things happened in the same week, and people are saying that Marvel did that because they knew the dumps of fire that Madame Web would be, so they announced a bunch of stuff that same week to kind of like, hey, that's not us. This is what we're doing over here. This is what we're doing over here in MCU. This is whatever Sony's doing. That has nothing to do with us. We got Pedro Pascal. We got woke Richard Reeds. They got,
Richard Reeds. That's good.
Richard Reed. Didn't he play for the Bucks in like the 80s?
Richie Reed.
Well, you know, in Spanish, you say things backwards. No,
no, I wouldn't know that. But I know that.
Sorry. What happened? My mom got into some trouble in Peru studying spiders.
Oh, also, I went to see Madame Web on opening night, and there were 7 people in the theater.
Double what I thought it would have been.
So the studio that brought you Morbius.
And last thing, because I gotta rip on y'all too, on this.
What
do we do?
How we get dragged into this?
I gotta rip on y'all too. Despite Morbius, y'all too. Still thinks that Kraven is going to be good.
Oh,
what?
That's what you said, Javi.
That's what I said.
I still think Kraven might be good.
I still think Kraven's going to be good.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Y'all are the problem.
The amount of time I think about Kraven, not even the movie, just the character in general is zero. So I know what I said about Madame Web. I thought there was a possibility that Madame Web would be able to tell a story that expands on the Sony cinematic universe, particularly the spider stuff.
I just want to say, after everything you just said, you were better off saying that Kraven was gonna be a good
movie. I did. I don't care. I'm not the type of person I'd be like, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Oh, I don't give a shit. Right, but there was no reason why Madame Web couldn't have been a good movie. Like, there's nothing given what they've done with Enter the Spider-Verse movies. Right, even Venom. Again, Venom is not as far from perfect. Far from perfect. Right, but it's a movie that you can actually watch and have fun watching. Right,
fair.
It is. I think the majority, like just look at their box office success.
30% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
I don't give a shit about Rotten Tomatoes, right?
The only time I care about Rotten Tomatoes is when I'm writing an article. That's the only time I give a shit about Rotten.
The only correct rating that Rotten Tomatoes had in a while is Madam Web, which I think is sitting at like 2%.
It's less than Catwoman.
Yeah, that's around Catwoman. But no, I felt like it's upsetting, right? Because all Sony owns the rights to a good.
Madam Web is
a great franchise.
12% on a tomato meter and 57% from the audience.
The audience is lying. That's why I don't trust the audience. Even less than the critics.
Yeah, nah, that's bullshit.
By the way, on Rotten Tomatoes, if you click on Venom, and it'll say what movies you also would like. It says you would also like Pacific Rim Uprising, Mortal Engines, and X-Men Dark Phoenix.
I also, did you know if you click on, if you like Morbius, it goes, you may also like being punched in the face.
Actually, that's a good one. Well, let's see
what guys, is nobody else upset about this? Like, I get, like, it's fun to make fun of this, bro, but this is what we love, right? We love comic books, right?
I've told you what I think. I absolutely truly believe that this is a conspiracy against comic book movies. I absolutely truly believe that.
It has to be at this point. I mean, like, I has to be at this point.
It's funny. It's funny where I got the idea from. I was reading Ultimate Spider-Man, and Wilson Fisk kept losing to Spider-Man, and he found out that he had the rights to the character, and he was like, buy it all, sell it all, anybody who wants it. He goes, well, that'll just ruin the market. He goes, exactly.
I think only reason why I don't think. Well, we do know why Sony's doing this, right? Outside of conspiracy theories. Like, Sony has to make these movies. They have to. They're contractually obligated to make these movies, or they lose the rights to Spider-Man.
Yes.
So they can risk spending $100, $200 million on a flop, right? Knowing that they're going to make over $1 billion with this.
You know what's funny?
Billions with the Spider-Man franchise.
What did you say?
Madam Web made his money back. It cost $80 million. They made $90 million.
Worldwide. $80 million. That's nothing for a quote unquote triple A movie with superheroes, an $80 million budget.
I mean, there wasn't really any superheroes though.
Yeah, whatever, right? I think The Boys cost $80 million a season, right? Like, that's nothing for the studio. And then they continue to own Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse franchises, and they'll make billions. Win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
This is so goddamn funny.
I can't wait till y'all watch it. I cannot. I literally cannot wait.
Oh, I'm gonna live tweet the shit out of this.
Also, old man, for Mobius, you made a joke, but you weren't far off. It says if you like Mobius, you would like Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Which one was that? Was that the first one or the second one?
That was the last one, I think.
That's the last? What's the second one?
When he's like in the church, like he's like, I don't know. That one was... I don't know why I haven't forgotten that movie exists.
All I know is that I saw a flaming giant construction machine, and that made me very happy.
But you know what? That movie still, like, I haven't seen Madam Web, but I've heard enough to know that I'm gonna agree with Brandon that arguably one of the worst movies ever, and it has nothing to do with. The script has nothing to do with the story. It's just like the ADR, right? Some of the scenes that I've seen lazily shot. Like it's almost like they had a whole movie and then the studio went, it was like, nope, can't use that, can't use that, can't use that, reshoot that, ADR that, ADR that. Like literally by the end of this massacre of what might have been, I mean, I don't know. I've heard a couple of critics say that there's a ghost, a undead zombie ghost of a good movie somewhere.
I've heard that too. I've heard Dakota Johnson say that like this wasn't the movie she was sold.
Yeah, and that, I don't think that's the movie she filmed either. Because like you can tell if you're familiar, you can tell when things have been changed. If it's done sloppily and lazy, you can tell when things have been changed.
Oh, no, this is the movie she was filmed because she had no energy. in this movie. It's not the old man's right. It's not the movie she was sold.
And why is it a Madam? Why would they make that a Madam Web movie? Like, it could have been Spider Woman, something like that.
You know, because the idea was to tie all of these things in the unit, like the Spider-Verse and the Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and Tom.
Leave Tobey Maguire out of this.
No, they were trying. What the point of this movie was? You can tell watching it was that Madam Web was going to be the, for lack of a better term, the web that ties all of these universes together, because she can see all the spider people and everything in every universe, and she was going to be that person going forward that brings all the spider people together for this big Spider-Verse like live action spectacle.
Do you want? And it's sad because I think that's how they sold it to her. Like, you're going to be the centerpiece of this.
Do you want to hear something even funnier about that? Is when the movie was initially pitched, and they talked about not pitched when a movie the plot of the movie was initially released, she was supposed to be the Doctor Strange of this. And I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense.
I can see that.
And then as it goes on, and I'm like, I'm listening to everyone talk about it, I'm like, did they still try to do that? Like, I don't know what they were trying to do in this.
The final fight is her in a Pepsi factory that's for some reason is filled with fireworks. And
Michael Jackson.
She's fighting Ezekiel, who has like the Secret Wars black spider suit on. But she's not actually fighting. She's just like clairvoyant, so she like knows these things are gonna happen in the warehouse. So she runs to different parts of the warehouse where something happens. It's like she throws a flare, and she knows like this flare is gonna set this fireworks on fire. That's gonna send this crate in the air, and it's gonna land right here. So she runs to that area, makes Ezekiel come to him, and then the crate comes falling out the air and crushes him. Like those types of things.
So Looney Tunes.
I'm not mad at that at all, though. That's kind of dope.
That's how she fights him in the final scene.
Yeah, but you kind of got to build. I feel like you have to build up to those moments, right? And I don't feel like they built up to that at all, just based on what I'm hearing. Like, I feel like I feel like everything was just random. Like, again, a Pepsi. Again, this is lazy filmmaking. Like, your location matters. Why is there fireworks in a Pepsi factory?
I asked that question a million
times. And I heard she got blind because a firework exploded right in front of her, but she was also underwater when it happened.
Yes, that's true.
That's not how any of that works.
What? I mean, yeah, this is true. Also from, you know what? I'll do like this. From the movie studio that got you Bat Hadoukens in Morbius.
Bat Hadouken was dope.
Bat Hadouken was stupid.
That joint was, yo, listen, I don't care what anybody says about Morbius.
Dog, he Marvel went. Dog,
the fight scenes in Morbius were awesome.
he went down, forward, and bats came out of his butt. Like,
yo, he was beating people up with bat interpretive dance. But this dude was really out here doing bat Hadoukens. And I don't know. I don't think we give that enough credit.
Dog, did he have hollow bones? Because he was really certainly flying like he had hollow bones. Dog, that...
Yo, I feel like that universe is crazy. You get bit by any animal and you are that animal. Like, literally, like, and I feel like the whole point of Spider-Man, like, I feel like the Spider-Verse established that, like, Peter Parker's and their alternates are special because of these spiders. But Madam Web was like, nah, you just got to go to Peru. Nah, just go to Peru. Study some spiders.
I need to redo this movie. And I want it to be like, you go to, like, the bodega to get powers.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yo, you got some of those great responsibility spiders, bro?
That's actually kind of how it was.
Oh, God. The great responsibility spiders.
You go to the little spot where she was born, there was like 1,000 of them. Yeah. Like, there were so many of them.
I don't get it. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, God.
So, Madam Web. So, Brandon. So
sorry that went a little bit long, but it was worth it.
Is it the best movie you ever watched, or it's the greatest movie you ever watched? I don't think you made that clear.
Where does it? Here's a better question: where does this rank in the worst comic movies you've ever seen? Where does it rank?
It is, okay. So I'm biased because I love the X-Men, and what they did with Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix is just so offensive to me. It's like someone like stole my child, like kidnapped my child.
That movie was lazy too, so you know what?
You know, Apocalypse is among my is among the worst
comedies. But at least those movies had good actors in it who tried.
Facts.
So
I like Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, she was. I mean, I don't know how to describe her. The girl who played Maddie Franklin was trying.
Sydney Sweeney should have been the main character.
Sydney Sweeney should have been Emma Frost.
And Adam Scott was good for what they asked him to do. But no, at least in Dark Phoenix, at least Sophie Turner tried. Like, she had a horrible script, but she at least put in effort to be Jean Grey in that fucking movie. So it's not so Dark Phoenix is better.
Wow, never thought I would hear that line. I never thought I would hear that sentence on this show.
So I got a question for you. Is it better than Fan4Stick?
The Fantastic Four remake?
Yes.
Yes, it's better than that.
Wow. Okay, you know, I think that's where we're going to do the measuring stick from.
Because that movie's boring on top of everything.
Yeah. It was like the Zack Snyder version of Fantastic Four.
Catwoman is worse. Have y'all ever seen the Supergirl movie from the 80s?
Nah.
Bro, don't please. Those movies are nostalgic to me, bro. For me, those movies will never be bad only because I saw them so young. And they were so those movies blew my mind, bro.
I'm about to tell y'all what's better. Steel is better.
Oh, that's another movie that I watched as a kid that I thought was awesome.
That movie Steel sucks, man.
Elektra, about the same.
Oh, nah, I was Elektra, so old to see nostalgic with that one.
Madam Web, about the same.
But I wouldn't call Elektra one of the worst movies of all time.
I would call it a bad movie.
I would absolutely
call that one of the worst comic book movies ever created.
Jonah Hex was better.
I've never seen Jonah Hex.
Howard the Duck was better.
I mean, come on, Howard Duck. Like, that was another nostalgic right there. Dang. So.
That's what we're talking about.
I mean, if Morbius is a better movie.
We know
where we're drawing that line.
Judge Dredd is a better movie.
Which one?
Judge Dredd. Because Dredd was actually a good movie.
Green Lantern is a much better movie. Much better.
That's...
Much better movie.
Wow. Wow. I have no words.
I would pay to watch BVS before I watch Madam Web for free.
Was it better than The Wolverine, the second one?
Oh no, The Wolverine's better than that.
Okay, was it better than that one particular scene in The Wolverine with Deadpool?
That's Wolverine Origins.
Okay, I got so many Wolverine freaking movies.
There was only three.
It's enough. How does this guy get three movies? How does this guy get three standalone friggin' movies? And Days of Future Past was pretty much a Wolverine movie.
Blade Trinity was better.
Yo, don't disrespect Blade Trinity, dog. That was a great Deadpool movie.
Also, Blade was literally high the whole time.
Yo, so... finding out the stories about Wesley Snipes in that movie makes me so happy. If you know,
that was Jessica Biel at her hottest. In my opinion,
you know what I love about that? Like, Blade, Wesley Snipes, and Jean-Claude Van Damme had the same reaction and the same criticism as like Blade and Street Fighter. They were both just super high.
Super high.
And I'm still pissed off that Raul Julia, and I will say this anytime it's brought up, Raul Julia put on a hell of a performance as Bison in that movie.
No, he's the reason why that movie is actually like watchable.
Street Fighter is way better than this.
Yeah, Street Fighter is a watchable movie. If you looked at your TV right now and there was a suggested watch with Street Fighter, and you weren't that bored, you were a little bored, had nothing else to do, you'd watch that movie.
Ten out of ten times. I just fast forward to all the Bison parts. Like, he had the grime. He said the grimiest shit ever to someone who just poured their fucking heart out.
You know, right, so I also fast forward to that Jean-Claude Van Damme speech that he makes before they go to invade Chateauloo.
I would kick Bison's ass.
Speaking of video game movies, if you want to bring it to that, this is like Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
But Mortal Kombat Annihilation was like, I felt like that was like purposely like low budget.
It is better
bad.
Than Super Mario. Better than Super Mario.
Wait. With John Leguizamo?
Yes, that's the horror.
Bro, shut your face. That movie was perfect.
You call the movie I think if you call it anything else, I think people actually like it.
I actually think Double Dragon might have been better.
I won't watch it. I will not watch
also
it.
These are all movies I watched when I was like in grade school, and I thought those shits were the greatest movies ever. Again, I was probably high on like sugar.
You
and popcorn.
You think Super Mario was good.
Bro, I was like, when did I watch it? When did Super Mario come out?
93, maybe?
Bro, I was in third grade.
Yeah, 93.
Yeah, bro. You can't blame a third grader.
I can blame a grown ass man for still thinking it's good.
Yeah. Hater.
Rampage was better than this movie.
Make video game movies bad again.
Nah, after seeing that new Super Mario Brothers, I don't want to see a bad
so
video
good
game ever again.
So good.
Sorry, yo, I took over the show again, old man.
Yo, I just love that. No, I told you let it rip, dog, because before we move on, I do want to say this. Sydney Sweeney was on SNL last week as we're recording, and she was like, you may have seen me in Euphoria, but you definitely didn't see me in Madam Web.
Yo, I have never seen actors badmouth a movie that still
it's
in the
still
theaters,
in theaters.
that they are in.
It's not good, dog.
Yo, how did this movie make its money back, but the Marvels didn't?
Well, the Marvels was a much bigger budget movie.
It's in the Marvels.
I think
a good movie that got tanked by anti woke crowd.
I don't think the anti-woke crowd, I think we give them too much credit. Because if that was the case, none of these movies would make any money, right? I think part of the problem was, again, I already include them in, they're not going to watch these movies because they hate everything. Now they're complaining about Superman's friggin'
Yo, that is
Pope
the
symbol.
Dumbest. Yeah.
Which like, what?
Like, super, what was my favorite one? Superman's logo, that is specifically a logo from Kingdom Come. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. What the fuck are you talking about?
And who cares if it was? Kingdom
it
Come
is
isn't the only
Kingdom Come.
But it's
he
not the
it
only
super,
it's not the only Superman logo.
But he said, I read that it is the logo from Kingdom Come, but Kingdom Come is a more of a darker movie, and he put the other colors in it. On purpose.
No. The people are complaining that it's the only time they've used that.
Oh, okay.
But not just that though. I'm like, and again, I don't really care. I don't pay too much attention. But I was reading a post on X, and pretty much these people are saying, oh, based off of the logo, because that's all we have from this movie. Oh, this movie's gonna be the worst. Oh, look at another woke movie. Oh, like the same complaints. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm at a point now.
That won't work because it's Superman, but it does work against a movie with three women leads.
Yeah, but I don't think
a black woman and a Muslim woman.
But I don't think that they have enough pull, right, to do to that movie what happened. I think it also has to do with the weakness of the Disney Plus shows, right? And that really, I think that had a lot to do with people just not being that excited about Marvel as they usually are.
I want to agree with you, and I don't think you're wrong. So let me just say that. But I will say that I was on Twitter at night, and then seeing the dozens and dozens and dozens of people that I saw, who were like, "Wow, I wish I would have seen that movie in theater."
Yes.
Yes. Now, exactly.
Yes, because
exactly.
They got talked out of it.
And that was a lot. And that was a lot of the narrative. All of them were like, "Wow, I wish I wouldn't have listened to the critics."
People got talked out of it.
But people getting talked out of. But people, if that was the case, right? Explain Black Panther making billions of dollars.
Black dollar. The black dollar.
Yes, and exactly. Black people went to see that in droves. This right, is three look. Women.
Let's take a look.
You gotta remember that, Javi. This is three
look.
Women.
Let's take a look. Let's take a look. I'm not saying that these people aren't disgusting. I'm just saying we're giving them way too much power.
Hold yes, on but second. you're forgetting that even people who aren't quote unquote in the anti woke crowd are still like having issues with women. So if they're already like, I don't know if I want to go see this movie with three women, and then you hear that it's bad, you're gonna be like, I'm not gonna go see it. And then when it comes out for free, you go, oh, I want to check it out for continuity. Because that's what a lot of people did. They're MCU fans. They were like, I'm not going to see the movie, but I'm going to check it out for continuity. And then they watched the movie on Disney Plus, and they're like, oh, this was actually good.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was good.
So Captain Marvel is the eighth highest grossing MCU movie.
Captain Marvel was the first female-led superhero movie.
And this was like the...
It was the first MCU one, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if we're making an argument that three women, a movie with three women, is gonna flop the way it did just because of the mouth readers on Twitter, right? Why can't we make the same argument about Captain Marvel?
Because it was led by one. You're talking about a movie led by one woman as with Nick Fury, a male,
yes,
antagonist, in a bunch of like male characters.
Nick Fury was the co-star of that movie.
Black Widow did better than Thor, Ant-Man, Captain America, the First Avenger, Eternals, The Incredible Hulk.
You're also bringing up a white woman.
You're not talking about a Muslim girl.
I'll say this, right? It's hard for me, right, without seeing exactly how this affected the movie, to believe that these guys who complain about everything would cause one of...
You're also... Think about those movies you just brought up, right? Brought up movies that, like, for one, Captain Marvel, yes, there was a quote-unquote woke agenda, but, like, now it's a lot worse than it was than it is now. So people specifically don't do certain things. Didn't really have the voice that they do now. Like, for example, everybody has a podcast. Whenever I look up anything on YouTube, when I'm looking up, like, oh, I need I need videos for the articles I write, and I'm like, oh, I need, like, for example, Spider-Man. I'm like, oh, I need the trailer for Spider-Man by Zeb Wells. I get nothing but negativity. Oh, I need something for this character for XYZ and ABC. Nothing but negativity.
And the thing is, I'm not saying it had zero effect. I don't think I made that point that it had zero effect. But I think I'm seeing, like, I noticed something, right? Like, and it's not pointing out anybody in particular. I think this is something that we all do. I think that we read and take in certain types of media, right? We see a lot. Before you shake your head, let me finish my point, Brandon. We see a lot of people talking about this movie, saying that it's too woke, blah 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 blah. That's what we see, right? But we tend to mistake how we view the world or the images that we see, the media that we take, and we tend to think that everybody's seeing those things, right? Most people did not follow, right, the toxicity around the Marvels, right? Most people. The majority of people, and that's just what anything. The majority of people aren't looking at these things, right? It's not affecting whether they're gonna do something or not, right? That's just statistics. That's just math. Most people are not affected by the same things that we think they are, right?
Javi.
So
Guardians made $850 million.
Mm-hmm.
It came out a few months before this. So if it's fatigue from Marvel TV shows, why did Guardians make $850 million?
But it's similar to the argument that you guys made about Miss Captain Marvel doing well, right? Like Captain Marvel, the argument that you guys made was that Captain Marvel was the first one, right? So that makes things a little bit different, right? Guardians of the Galaxy was the third and final movie of one of the most popular MCU franchises ever, right? It didn't really need a lot of,
but
it didn't need, it didn't depend on everything else the MCU.
But to your point that
it worked on its own.
To your point about Captain Marvel being the eighth highest grossing comic book movie, that shouldn't affect it either. My point being,
I know, this is the
sequel.
Yeah, did it.
This like, is the sequel, so people should have came back, right?
But and that's another thing. People didn't see the Marvels as a sequel to Captain Marvel either. Like, people didn't, most people didn't see that as a direct
And why sequel. Didn't they? And hold up, why didn't well, they?
You could blame that on the marketing, right?
Because
you could blame
they
that
had on the marketing. A black woman and a brown woman right
and
the, there.
No, and you have. No,
and
you know
we just
well
say, we just say that. So, what happened to the black dollar supporting that black actress?
It's they showed out, but you also
it's
got
a woman.
Yeah, that's also the other thing.
Black it's people a, showed out. For the Marvels?
Black people showed up for Black Panther. Also, this movie was directed by a black woman. So, if
so
where
was the black dollar for that?
It's black women, Javi.
People don't, unfortunately, people don't give a shit about black women. Like, the three of us may go support something just specifically because it's a black woman that we like. Like, I love Tiona Paris. If she was one of the main reasons I wanted to go see it. But I also
sorry, old man, go ahead.
No, I was just going on to the fact, like, this was just like an example of like people don't like women. People don't like women of color. People hate. And when I say this, people hate Brie Larson. And it is hysterical that they hate her. And that's the other reason that this movie didn't do well, because people hate Brie Larson specifically because when she, and this was stupid as
Who's
hell.
Who's people? Most people aren't these mouth readers talking about how
but
much
these mouth
I think you're underestimating how information travels, Javi.
Definitely
that's
not.
The other thing. Like,
but,
like,
but I'll let you guys
Javi,
hold it.
Let me get my point out though. So one of the reasons that people like when Brie Larson did her initial press tour for Captain Marvel, she was like, I'm only doing press of people of color and women. And it just pissed everybody off. And like, fuck Brie Larson, fuck
that
this,
was stupid,
fuck that.
In my opinion.
Yes, and it was absolutely stupid. But you also have to remember, like, people, these dudes that we're talking about, they hate women. So therefore, when something actually does come out that could be positive for women and stuff like that, they're going to find a way to do it. And you also have to remember, just because we're talking about the people who are vocal about it, there are also the people who aren't vocal about it who are going to shit on it because they have their own agendas. So they're not going to specifically say, I'm not going to go see this movie because it was directed by, written by, and starring women of color and Brie Larson, or just women in general. Then it's like, oh, it's just not a good movie. And I've seen people on Twitter talk about, oh, all the stuff that I saw about it wasn't true.
Ant-Man and the Wasp made 3 times as much as the Marvels. Aquaman 2, which had zero promotion, that didn't get promoted at all, really, made double of what the Marvels made. Double. Aquaman 2 is not even in the universe anymore. It's not even in the universe. It didn't even matter. They didn't promote it. James Gunn didn't talk about it. No one gave a fuck about that movie. It doubled the Marvels. Double.
All right, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I have that.
It's no knock to you, and I do. And I think we both.
I don't think it's a knock. I just don't think there's a way. My only argument is that there's no way for us to be able to tell that as a fact, so there's no point
really
in me even
to explain it though.
Else to explain it.
How else could you explain it?
All right.
Is it because so many people didn't like Secret Empire? I mean, not Secret Empire, Secret Invasion. That they were just like, I didn't like Secret Invasion on Disney Plus, so I'm not.
I don't think there's any one reason. I don't think there's any one reason. I just think that we tend to. You know what? I'm gonna let y'all hold that. I'll let y'all.
No, get your final thoughts in, definitely.
I mean, there's multiple reasons. Like, all right, let's go. Again, I don't think there's one reason to do it. But if we look at, say, Bob Iger, right? Someone who we would think would have like the actual data behind what made that movie flop, right? Even though it's going to be a spin that makes them look as good as possible, right? Let's see here. So Bob Iger said the film's underwhelming performance was due to the lack of supervision on the film set during the pandemic. The Marvels was shot during COVID. Iger explained at the New York Times Deal Book Summit via CNBC, there wasn't as much supervision on the set, so to speak, where we have executives that are really looking over what's being done day after day after day. So according to this guy, it wasn't enough executives. According to you guys, it was because it was too woke. According to other people I've heard,
one movie directed by a black woman doesn't have enough supervision.
Again, that's not my words. I'm not saying I even agree.
I agree with you.
People are bringing up why this movie flopped.
I will agree with you that I think that there are multiple reasons for that. I'm not going to take Bob Iger's word because Bob Iger is also the same person who said
you shouldn't.
That, he'll let people starve and lose their houses before he makes a deal with the writers.
No, and you shouldn't, and that's kind of the point that I was trying to make, right? Like, depending on who you ask, you're gonna get different versions of this story, right? And my point is that if these people had enough power to make movies flop, every friggin' movie would flop, bro.
No,
because they hate everything.
Every movie doesn't have directed by a black woman, starring a black woman, starring a Muslim woman.
Their issue would be like, oh, there was two gay people kissing.
Yeah, but that's not going to stop people.
They made
from
that
coming.
Character black. But you're saying most people don't even. And that's what I'm saying. Other than us and other people that are really into this stuff, I guarantee you, the majority of people who we're talking about didn't even know who directed this friggin' movie.
But
they couldn't even tell you her name, bro.
Here's what I'll say that I think you'll agree with.
Yeah.
It's not just the woke mob who has a problem with black and brown women. It's just regular fucking people. Like, regular movies that aren't superhero movies that are starring black and brown women.
But that's what I'm trying to... But I guarantee...
Black and brown women, people don't go see them.
But this is where I'm saying that, like, our blind spots. Like, I'm saying everybody has blind spots. I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you that this had an effect. But what I'm saying is this. I guarantee you, most people didn't even know who the director was to know she was even black, right? So I don't think if that might have took away $1 million off the box office, maybe, right? Maybe probably, I'm give you that, right? Like I'm giving you extra than I think was taken away from the movie because she was black. Most people didn't even know she was black, right?
Yeah, but like you also okay, go ahead.
And then most people saw the Marvels, right? If they saw it as a Miss Marvel sequel, it would be Brie Larson, a white woman, who they'd be thinking as somebody carrying the torch for this movie, right? And that, the reason why I brought up the MCU is because the reason why I brought up the Disney Plus MCU shows, right, is because there was a long streak of these shows not doing well, ending poorly. People started and I'm not talking about superhero fatigue. I'm just talking about.
Can I also call shenanigans on that? And when people talk about like the movie, like not you in particular, but when they go this like the streak of Marvel movies that didn't do well, Marvel shows that didn't do well. What were they besides Secret Invasion? What other one? Because
wasn't the last show before this movie Loki?
She-Hulk did well. People can hate it all they want, but it was still one of the highest streamed shows period of the year.
And She-Hulk, you're telling me that this anti-woke group, right?
No. I'm just retorting on
She-Hulk was one of the most. She-Hulk was good. She-Hulk was good.
I'm not talking about good though. That's what I'm saying. I'm just going by what you're talking about how people will say, oh well, the superhero movies shows haven't been well. It's just like I'm calling shenanigans because the last, with the exceptions of Secret Invasion, the Disney shows have done well.
The Marvels came out November 8th. Loki season 2 finale was November 9th. So the show right before this movie is the show everyone swears is the best thing since sliced bread,
which I vehemently disagree with.
Wait, you don't like Loki?
I don't think it was as nearly as good as everyone makes it out to be.
Oh, we need to talk about that one.
that's a hot take, man. That's a whole podcast.
That's flaming right there.
I thought Loki,
not in a bad way.
I thought Loki was good. I thought the ending was emotional. I thought that there was a lot of really good that came out of Loki, but I don't even think it even tops. I don't even think it touches the top. Season 2, I don't think touches the top 5 Marvel Cinematic TV shows.
That's a fucking take.
Wow. Loki as like Loki season 2 or Loki just Loki?
Season 2. Just season 2. Just
yeah,
season 2.
I could. I mean,
wow.
Like the acting was superb. Like the acting in that show was superb. I thought that the character development was good. I thought that what we got from it was good, but I also thought that like the way people hyped it up was just, I was like, this was good. I watched it and I was satiated, but like I didn't think it was like the way it was revered. I'm like, cool. But
at the time Loki came out, we had WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki season 1, What If Season 1, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Secret Invasion, and then Loki Season 2. So at that point, you didn't think Loki Season 2 was in the top five of that list?
It's not in the top five. It's not in the top
Yo,
five.
How well did Barbie do in the box office, Brandon?
It made $1 billion.
All right.
Barbie has a beautiful white woman as the star.
That's probably the wokest movie that came out in the past. Like,
yes, but a bunch of white women were like, it's fucking Barbie. I went to see Barbie. It was full of white women in that fucking crowd. Yeah. Every white woman in the world went and saw
it. It was full of all types of people, including me.
Yeah, I mean, I was there, but it was full of white women.
Yeah, I saw it too. Like, but it was white women. Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, like, it's like an attractive white woman is going to do better than an attractive black woman, like, always. An ugly white woman is going to do better than an attractive black woman. An untalented white woman.
It's not even just a black woman. It's a Muslim woman.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
It's a Muslim woman on your team. And she's the best part of the film. And she had to probably had to, I mean, I think Brie Larson probably had the most lines, but like Kamala was the star of that film when y'all you watch
know
it.
Y'all know how me and Javi feel about Ilana Baum, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, protect her at all costs.
A side question for you, old man, since you talked about Disney Plus shows, are you excited for Agatha?
No. Nah.
Really?
No. I don't care. Oh, I'm gonna be completely honest. I don't care.
Even like with WandaVision being as awesome as WandaVision was?
I think it's gonna be good. I'll watch it when it comes out. But in terms of excited, I don't care. Like I was more
I'm surprised you didn't put Deadpool and Wolverine on the docket because we never got to talk about that.
Oh no, I'm saying that's gonna be a whole ass episode.
Let's do a whole episode, okay?
Yeah, that's gonna be a whole thing. Like I have so much to say about that. And I also knew that some of the topics that we started that we weren't gonna get to. So I was like, all right, let me put the important stuff first. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I changed the docket like 8 times
because of you, old man. I bought that omnibus.
Which one?
The Deadpool Jerry Duggan.
Oh yeah, it's. Hobby, like me and Hobby have like bonded over like Jerry Duggan and Deadpool, so
good, bro.
This one, y'all probably can't see that. This one,
it's a nice car,
yeah. That's only the first omnibus because the next one, Brian Poussin isn't co writing. All right, I gotta go. But before we go, what are y'all reading?
You know, Brandon, because I gotta think through that one. All right. Actually, no, I don't have to think that much, but good. Oh well, yeah, you showed us that.
You gotta use That's your voice. You gotta use your yeah. you gotta use your big boy voice when you're talking about that.
Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus tells me the history of hip hop in comic book form. From Grandmaster Flash, all the way up through like Jay-Z and everything. It's fucking great.
I'm actually reading a manga that I got obsessed. The reason why I didn't read a lot of books last week, I'm catching up now, is because I started watching an anime called Solo Leveling, which is one of the most unique concepts I've seen in anime. And it just started. So I went to find the manga. So I started reading the manga and I literally read every chapter of that manga in a week. Solo Leveling is an awesome concept. It's essentially a character, you know, your traditional shonen anime character, but the character development, his power scaling happens by himself, almost like a gamer. If you're a gamer who likes playing by yourself in PvP, stuff like that, kind of speaks to that. It also has a very like strong family element to it. It's very well written. And it's also unique to me because it's not Japanese in origin. It's actually a Korean story. They have a really interesting way of telling these stories that someone like me, who's been watching and reading manga and animes for like most of his life, was very refreshing and awesome. So Solo Leveling.
Oh man, interested. I don't know if you read manga. I never really read manga.
I don't.
But someone told me about this manga that I would like and I think you would like. It's called Go Go Loser Ranger. And it's basically like a Power Ranger, but Japanese version, like the Super Sentai. But it's like, what if the Power Rangers was pro wrestling? So like every Sunday, the Power Rangers fight the monsters on TV, but it's predetermined, like pro wrestling. So the Power Rangers win every time until one time one of the monsters goes into business for themselves. It's like, this don't work for me, brother. And they start fighting back.
And that, yo, that's what I love about anime. Like, there's so many different, people don't realize, like, anime and mangas consist of, like, multiple different genres, right? Like, in comedy and actually making fun of the tropes that you see, even in American media, right? Because there's a lot of intersections between, like, Japanese media and American media. Like, they grew up together, almost. And you get stories like that that turn what you think is going to happen on its head in very interesting ways. So I'm looking at that now. Brandon, I never heard of it, and it looks like something that I'm probably going to get into.
Also, oh, man, the Rangers are like the boys. So, like, the superheroes are really the bad people in real life. So that's part of it.
It looks cool.
I
remember you're reading right to left.
I'm reading a couple of things. I actually just finished 8 Billion Genies. Was fucking dope. One of my co-workers recommended it to me. It's essentially, actually not even essentially, every person in the world gets a genie. Gets one genie, one wish. And you get to see how people would react to getting a genie. Like, the stuff they would do and, like, how horrible, like, some of the wishes would be and, like, how the world would turn out, because there's always going to be that one person that makes a wish that gives them, like, close to or definitely ultimate power, but it's not power in a way where you're like, oh, I'm Superman. Like, one guy goes, I wish that everyone believed in me. And that gave him power for, like, centuries.
Oh.
Then there was, but it also gets sad because sometimes people make wishes and not realizing what they were asking for. And this woman goes, this girl says to her parents, I wish you would burn in hell, and didn't realize what she was saying when she said.
Oh, wow.
So it gets really deep and really introspective. And I was kind of happy that they stuck the landing, because I know how sometimes when you're watching, when you're reading something, especially like with independent comic books, you know that there's eventually going to be an ending, and you're like, please stick the landing. Please don't give me an ending that I'm gonna detest. And he didn't. Charles Soule absolutely, like, killed it. So I may be happy. I'm also reading...
Is that Image, Old Man?
Yes.
Okay.
Also reading Wolverine Sabretooth War, which has been absolutely lit. Like, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah, I heard great things about that series.
It's bloody, it's violent, it's deep. You find out that the reason that Sabretooth is doing this now is because, like, it seems like he just misses his friend. Like, he misses the days when him and Wolverine could just kill and slaughter people and be happy together and friends. And I was like, well, that's kind of makes sense, because Sabretooth doesn't know how to express emotions. Like, it made so much sense to me. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, and we finally got to see what Stark was making from his Iron Man armor, which was
finally
I was very happy that it wasn't what you're expecting.
At first, I wasn't happy because the suit that he was wearing, I was like, ah, okay. Yeah,
that's how I felt too.
I mean,
and then you get to the end, you're like, yo.
Yeah. But how it interacted with adamantium was pretty cool. And that wasn't even the main suit, which is crazy.
Yeah. Brandon, right. you read it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Sentinel Buster armor. And I had to go back and look at it again. I went, oh shit, his armor is bigger than the Sentinels.
Well, they tricked us because we thought they were ships.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah, I have no complaints about that.
And Tony was like, I got this by myself. These are my weapons, I'll take care of them.
Yeah, you X-Men go do what you do. I'm gonna go take care of this shit over here.
I'm gonna go be, yeah. Man. And him and Emma Frost, like, honestly, like, I'm a little jealous. But Tony. Yeah.
Couple of the year, man.
Yeah, definitely. Like, she really fell in love with Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I never thought that would be possible.
I mean, you know, it's funny in the considering their personalities, it kind of makes sense though.
Yeah, nah, it's great, great, great couple,
I just
great
bought the
couple.
8 Billion Genies hardcover off of your recommendation.
It's yo, I can't yo, I can't wait to I can't wait to read it. It's super fucking dope. So initially, everybody, we had an idea. Well, actually, let me rephrase. Brandon had an idea to do a comic book club, and we kept saying we were gonna do it. We kept putting it off, and now it's been Lord knows how long since we've read Amazing Spider-Man. So
Yeah.
we are going to flip switch this off, and I am going to start reading Grayson because that was Brandon's pick, and I'll start reading it probably tomorrow night, and I'll probably get through with it, and I'll get through with it when I can. But it's what is it like 50 issues or something? Not even 50 issues, it's like 30 issues,
That's
right?
not bad.
We could do it 6 issues at a time so that it's easy to di easily digestible.
All right, we'll do it. Yeah. So if y'all want to follow along with us, we're gonna read it 6 issues at a time. I've
Tom
heard
King,
nothing but,
baby.
huh?
Tom King, baby.
Yeah, Tom King. Oh, Tom King's also writing a perfect Wonder Woman series. And
And
that
Tatum.
last issue, let me tell y'all writers, y'all better come up with something because that was easily the best comic book I've read all year. I know it's
Absolutely.
early, but Wonder Woman put her fucking foot in some shit. She threw the
Absolutely.
Capitol. She threw the what the fuck is it called? The
Washington Monument.
she threw the Washington Monument at somebody. I was
It's
like, yo,
gigantic.
is Dick Grayson Nightwing in this, or is he somebody else?
He—that's why you got to read it.
Yeah, I
He's
can't.
this.
I he's essentially Nick Fury.
Essentially, yes.
All right, honest.
It's in universe too. It's not an Elseworld.
Interesting.
Oh, Javi, you'll be happy. DC versus Vampires comes back in July.
I love DC Elseworlds. That's a, Elseworlds DC is the only thing that keeps me in the DC camp as much as possible. So,
Yeah.
other than
What else is coming? The
Gail Simone's writing the X-Men.
she is?
Yeah, when they come back
Oh, nice. Oh.
after all this is over, she's writing the X-Men.
Let me just tell you, if you're not following if people, if you're not following Gail Simone on X and you're a comic book fan, you're completely missing out. She is the most sarcastic comic book writer ever. Like anytime someone tweets or something about Gambit, she talks about how much she hates Gambit and she really actually does like Gambit. It's like she's like trolling people about stuff. It's absolutely awesome.
Yo, I know this is off topic, but like, when are we gonna cancel X? Are we just gonna we gonna let Elon just slide with that? Or not be?
I use Twitter too much.
Okay,
You
got
got
you.
me.
I
Got you.
don't even, yo, I don't even really use it that much. I'm kind of annoyed by it, but it's become a habit, like more than anything else.
Yeah, she's writing a Free Comic Book Day X-Men, which is the first book after the Krakoan era. And everyone thinks she's writing the series after that.
I mean, I'm with it. I thought I saw something, but I thought she, again, I thought she was trolling. But I'm with it. Yeah, go find us on go find us on X. Go find Javi at your mom's house.
Ah, you said it.
I'm Old Man Wade Calm on Twitter and everything else that I'm on. Yeah. Actually not, don't find me, because I really don't care about your opinions. I don't. I honestly do. I honestly do not. Just listen to the show. I listen to the show, read my articles. I honestly, let me rephrase. I don't, it's not that I don't care about your opinions. There are just certain people that are just so negative that it's basically turned me off from interacting with people online.
I'm so people don't understand how happy I am to hear old man say that.
Say what?
Like, you don't care about other like their opinions. And I know like it just we've known each other for a long time and I've seen how assholes have affected you in the past, right? I'm not saying that you've had this recently, but the fact that you can say I don't care about people's opinions and I know you mean it. Like for a friend, the friend that's seen your growth, bro, that like that says a lot. And I think that's a great
Yo,
thing.
doing the Instagram for the page that I write, it's literally got me to the point where I've just been looking at this going, oh, some of you guys actually really love comic books, some of you guys are just dickheads.
And
Like
some
my
people just want to see the world burn.
Yeah, which is perfectly fine. But here's a fun fact about that. Let that shit burn away from me. Like lick my grundle, dog. Like leave me the fuck alone.
Yo,
And
tell
it's
somebody to lick at Grendel's sick.
This is a good little thing to leave a little teaser. Maybe we'll talk about it early next time. Old man, but I don't know if you saw this, but Eric Kripke, the showrunner for The Boys, recently did an interview saying that he's trying to pitch doing Saga,
as a
TV series on Amazon.
Oh God. I've said this. Saga is a book that I've given to people. Like I've actually purchased Saga to like give to people. Like, yo, read this, you'll love it. Like that's how good Saga is. Like, me and Brandon have talked about this at length, and like, and how like I was just like, yo, I'm probably not gonna like it. I ended up reading fucking all of it, and like all of that was available in like a night. It's, again, all they have to do is stick the landing, and it could be the greatest comic book ever. That's not an exaggeration. If they stick the landing, it'll easily be the best comic book ever created. There are no bad issues. There aren't, like, everything about this is so goddamn emotional. Like, so, like, and just when you think your heart can't be broken anymore, they do it again.
Yeah.
Like, something happened in the last issue, in one of the last issues, where someone was trying to get revenge, and Brandon don't know what I'm talking about, and someone ends up dying, and it broke my heart. Because I was like, you were supposed to be the one who survives all this.
The only issue with Saga is the how they release it.
Yes.
I'm going to say this like just kind of throw back to earlier in the conversation to Madam Web. I'm going to say the same thing I said about Madam Web. There's no reason for that movie not to be good. The only reason why that movie is going to be good is if they're lazy and they don't take the source material seriously.
Oh, Saga can't be a movie. It has to be a TV
or show. A property just in general, right?
Yeah.
And I think that for the vast majority of real comic book fans, or just fans of good storytelling, we've been winning in for the most part with these comic book adaptions.
Oh, yeah.
And even video game adaptions, like recently. Even the Marvels. We can all agree that the Marvels was a good movie. For whatever reason, it flopped. We had that argument, but it was a good movie, and people are seeing that now. Like we have been inundated by really good properties, and so I don't see why a show. You guys talked about this so much. I trust your opinion so much, right? Like, it seems like it's rich. I'm thinking about what I'm hearing from Dune 2, right? The reviews of Dune 2, or the sequel to the last Dune remake movie, like. All these properties, everybody that's making these movies or these shows seem to be fans and people that really care about the material. So I'm excited to see anything that you guys are excited about.
Can I just say that Dune form. 2 sounds like a scat fetish?
God,
I mean, I mean, there's technically a giant anus.
Oh,
yeah, there is. It's like a fleshlight.
This giant fleshlight. You can use your popcorn.
And you know, they make popcorn, like, you know how they do the special popcorn cases? They made one that looks like the fucking ant, and everyone says it looks like a fleshlight when you stick your hand in it to get fucking popcorn out.
I can't wait to watch that movie, bro.
Yo, I saw somebody who had a shirt that says, "I'm just here to fuck the popcorn box." And it was a woman wearing it, made it even better. I'm like, this is the greatest shit ever. And the best part about it was the people who created it, they knew exactly what they were doing when they did it.
Oh, of course. That's it, man.
All right. This is for the Old Man Wade Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, be excellent to each other. Peace.
Peace.
Damn it, Wade.